Amen. You ready? If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 John chapter 4. You know, how many of you know you're a champion?
Amen.
You are champions here today. Amen. Every single one of you. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says this. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." One translation says, "Have defeated these enemies, because he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world." Let's pray. Father, we praise you this morning. We thank you for your word. Father God, I thank you that it's going to fall on good soil. Everyone will receive revelation knowledge this morning, Father, and we'll move up from where we are to where you want us to go. And Lord, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit today, and we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So you're a champion. You know, a lot of you know what the winner's circle is. It's where victors go, people who have the victory, especially after they've won and they're recognized for their abilities. You know, over the years, one of Carol and I's favorite movies is Secretariat. I love that movie. And that horse, against all odds, won the Triple Crown. Now, the interesting thing about it is that horse was born a champion, even though through natural circumstances he didn't look like a champion or know that he was a champion. But that horse was born a champion. He didn't look like one. He was short. He would like to run around in the field. He didn't care about racing. He didn't care about anything. If you watch the movie, and it's very true, he was overweight because he liked to eat. But the horse was a champion. Even though it does. So you might not feel like a champion today. You might not look like a champion today. You might have everything going against you today. But the fact is, you're a champion.
Amen.
God's word says it. So I want you to think about all the areas of your life that you struggle with. And then think about the one that you have the most trouble with in your life. And then think about that for a minute. You all have areas of your life, right?
Amen.
And you have one that sticks out way above the rest of them. So what if you already beat it? What if the battle was already won? What if you were free? The problem is you just don't know it. And that's the problem with most Christians. They're free, and they don't realize they're free. You know, you all have heard the story about the grasshopper and the flea. They put them in a jar, and they put a lid on the jar. They poke holes in the jar, and they pop, and they hit the top of the lid, and they just keep doing that for an undetermined amount of time. And then all of a sudden, one day they take the lid off the jar, and guess what? They're free, but they don't know it, and they only jump as high as the lid. And that's where the devil has most Christians today. He's got them suppressed down in a jar. Jesus took the lid off your jar, but you're not able to get out because you don't realize you're free.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Thank you. So our verse says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, "You are of little children and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." The contemporary English version says, "Children, you belong to God and have defeated these enemies. God's spirit is in you and is more powerful than the one that is in the world." Glory to God. Think about that. You know, Romans chapter 8 says we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. We are more than a conqueror. You're not a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You know what more than a conqueror is? Hey, I got one question. Was I supposed to let the youth go or something today or no? We're staying in here? The youth staying in here today, right? Okay, good enough. I don't want. Finally remembered and they're staying in. Anyway, but, you know, when you heard me tell a story about more than a conqueror, you know, a fighter goes in a ring, they fight 12 rounds, they're all bloody and beat up to death, and the one guy wins, and he wins $1 million, and they bring him the check, and they give him the check, and he's holding the check up, he's holding the gold belt up, and he's walking around like this, and his wife walks up, and he hands her the check. She's more than a conqueror. See, that's what Jesus did for us. He beat the devil.
Amen.
We don't have to fight the devil. It makes us more than the conqueror because he's already defeated. All right? It says, and the truth of the matter is, you're a winner. The battle is won and you're free. That's why you're a champion in God's eyes. You're free. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. And it says that at that time, you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, I like that. We were in the world. We were without God. We had no hope. We were in the world. But we had all these covenants of promises that didn't do us any good because we were without hope and we were without God. But now we're in Christ Jesus, us that had no hope, that were without God, and because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we are now brought close. That's called grace. So you don't earn it. You don't deserve it. God did it simply for one reason and one reason only. He loves you. You know what? And there ain't nothing you could do about it. I have a friend of mine. He's a preacher from Georgia. And he'll send me an email all the time. And he'll probably be sending me something now that the Yankees lost. And he'll go and he'll put in there and he goes, "And I love you. And there ain't nothing you could do about it." That's the way God is with us. He just loves us, and there's absolutely nothing you could do about it. You know, the Phillips translation, I like a lot of different translations of the Bible. So it says, you were without Christ. You were utter strangers to God's chosen community. The Jews in you had no knowledge of or right to the promised agreements. You had nothing to look forward to and no God to whom you could turn. But now, through the blood of Christ, you who were once outside the pale are with us inside the circle of God's love and purpose. You know that movie, The Fockers, when they used to go to Circle of Trust? See? We were outside the circle, and now we're inside the circle of trust of God. And it's interesting because that word, inside the circle, that phrase in the Greek means to be born into something, to come into existence, to be made, you know, like a made man or finished, something to be celebrated. Amen. That's what the inside the circle means. You know, it does not carry the idea of becoming something because we already are something because we're inside the circle. We're born into Christ. We're saved. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. So now we're in the circle. We're not becoming something. We are something. Amen. You were something. Now you became something. You were without hope. Now you are with hope. You were without God. Now you are with God. You were out of Christ. Now you are in Christ. And now you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. That's what you could do. See, that's the place we need to get to understand. And it carries the idea as we go along, of emerging and developing as we grow in Christ. See, we're on a journey to grow in Christ. You know, a lot of people asked me about, you know, what's happening with Lifeline. We haven't seen anything going on. Well, I want to tell you something. You don't know what's going on, but there's a lot going on. Okay? There's a whole lot going on that you don't, we're going to let you know probably in the next month or so. You'll be amazed of what's happened over the past year. You know? Sometimes it looks like nothing's going on. And you wonder, is that the devil? Doesn't the devil just love to play with your head? You start to think, well, that fell apart, that happened, this happened. See, but you don't know. That's the key. You don't know. I know. But you'll know when you have to know. And you'll be blessed, too. Trust me, it's big. But we're on a journey, and I said that because we have people who are starting to come from that. There's about, they have meetings up there every day. They have 12-step groups and the whole thing happening up there. We're starting a Bible study next week up there just to minister to women and some of the men. But they're starting to come to church. They're incognito. You don't know who they are. It could be the person sitting next to you. You don't even know it. But that's okay. But the thing is, they're on a journey. See, we say they're on a journey. They're on their journey to recovery. You know? So we're on our journey in our Christian walk. We're walking with Christ, and every day is new. Every day is different. Every day we should be progressing. We should be evolving. We have been born into the family. Now we need to grow in the family. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, familiar verse of Scripture. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. It's the NIV version. If anyone is in Christ, the King James says he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Old things have become new. NIV says if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Amen. See, if you're saved, you're a new creation in Christ. You know, there's nothing more detrimental to your faith and self-worth as to trying to become something. You don't try to become something. You are something. Amen. And that's the secret of the Christian walk. That's the secret of being victorious in your Christianity, in your journey as you go along. It's found in the past tense of God's word. Everything has been done for you already. There's nothing else you have to do except say, I receive Jesus as my Savior. After that, it's done. Now you need to walk that journey. Okay? You know, like a person who is had a problem with addiction and they've gone to rehab and they come out. They're done. Now they have a journey to go on to maintain their cleanness. Okay? And for lots of them, it's the 12-step program, which is, I used to have a problem with it, but I don't anymore. But it's a... Well, because, like, you see, you never attended one, and so you, the way they don't mess around up there. They don't, like, hang out on step one for a year. You know, they just boot you and get you moving. You know, get through the steps. If you got to start them over again, then do them again. But just get through the 12 steps and keep going through the 12 steps over and over and over again. It's kind of like meditate in the Word of God, meditate in the Word of God, meditate in the Word of God. Let it not depart from your sight. Don't, you know, keep it before you at all times. Hello? Same concept. That's how we overcome. That's how they overcome. And now when they put Christ into the mix, they really overcome. Amen. So the secret to your success is found in it's been done already. Yes. The past tense of God's word. Philemon chapter 6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by acknowledgement of every good thing which is in Christ Jesus. There's a version called the Tree of Life version. You say, Pastor, where do you find these? If you just go to Bible.org, you'll find every translation there is, okay? You all got computers. You all got phones. You're playing with your phone. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're posting on Facebook. You're sending texts. You're Twitter, Instagramming. Type in Bible.org, all right, and read some of the different. You can put them all side by side, and they'll all give you a little something. But it says, Philemon says, may the fellowship of your faith become effective with the recognition of all the good that is in ours in the Messiah. Think about that for a minute. The fellowship, the communion, the communicating of your faith become effective. You know, you're supposed to communicate your faith. One of the things I've known in what I've seen in recovery are people that are in recovery are always looking for someone who needs help. So they could share and they could communicate their journey to help them. Well, you're on a journey. You're saved. You're in recovery. You've been recovered. Now you're working out your salvation. Do you follow me? And so you have to effectively communicate your faith. And when you do that, you do it by recognizing all the good that you have in Christ to people. When they see that positiveness about you, everything you have in Christ, that's your journey. Hello? Amen. You there? You didn't go to bed, did you? Because as you recognize who you are in Christ, you begin to reap rewards. Amen. Rewards start coming. You know, the Lord started dealing with me. He says, you know, on a Sunday morning, you don't have to do like an hour message. You could do 15, 20 minutes. But hit them low and hit them hard. Wednesday night's different. But anyway, but so what we have to do is recognize who we are in Christ so we can reap the rewards. That's the past tense of God's word. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14 says, and the Amplified Version says, giving thanks to the Father and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption because of his sacrifice, resulting in the forgiveness of your sins and the cancellation of sin's penalty. So we've been conveyed. One translation says you've been conveyed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You ever see a conveyor belt? Up on the boardwalk in one of the candy stands, they store everything upstairs. And I got to be honest, those steps, they're a lot of steps. Sometimes they have this conveyor belt. And they'll just put the boxes on and they just go up. And sometimes I have to go up there and I just say, I'm just going to sit on the conveyor belt and go up. But it conveys those boxes from downstairs to upstairs. No sweat, no stress on it. Up they go, and they arrive at their destination. So you've been conveyed from the kingdom of darkness. You got on that conveyor belt, no stress, and you've been lifted up to the top and dumped out in the presence of God. See, you're forgiven. Everybody say, I'm forgiven. Oh, Pastor, I don't feel forgiven. Well, forgiveness doesn't go by how you feel. Okay, so you're forgiven, you're loved, and you're accepted. And that's just the way it is. Nothing you can do about it. God did it. That's grace. See, people don't understand grace. You can't add to the grace of God. That once you're trying to add to God's grace, you're trying to do it in your own strength, in your own flesh. So it goes, and the lie is, well, Pastor, I don't know how many times I've heard this, you know, just make a recording. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't, and I don't really care what you've done. Because God doesn't care what you've done. God loves you in spite of what you've done. And so people say, well, you don't know what I've done. God can't love me. Oh, yes, he can. Because he is love. You know? Some people battle trying to earn God's love and acceptance. I don't have to earn it. Because it's been given to me. I don't have to reach out for God's love. I just have to bask in God's love. I just have to receive God's love. I don't have to earn it. There's nothing I could do to earn it. For God so loved the world, and that includes you, that he gave his only begotten son. So I don't try to earn God. I don't try to be good to earn God's love. I'm good because of God's love. That's a big difference. I don't sit up home at night and get a list out and say, well, I got to do this. I mean, if God wants, I need a little, God's got to love me a little bit more in this area. So I better do this over there. Don't work that way. That's not the way God works. His love is unconditional.
Amen.
It's just, you can't, I mean, like I said, you don't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's just there. You need to receive it. It's the same thing, you know, with God's peace. You know, people pray that I have peace. Why? You got it. I have people tell you, pray that I walk in the love of God. Nah, I'm going to pray that. Because the Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Why do I have to pray for it? Why don't you do... Great idea. You do something and walk in it. Wow. Isn't that... And it's the same thing with the peace of God. Pray that I have peace. Why? Jesus says, I give you my peace. I leave you my peace. Not as the world has, but my peace. So if he's left it, what do I need to pray for it for? That's like if you somebody left you $1 million inheritance and you're praying, God, I hope somebody leaves me $1 million. And all this time you got this $1 million, use it. I remember a story one time, a young lady came up to my wife, they went out to lunch, and she said, would you pray that I'd get money to go to college? And she goes, how much is it? She goes, well, it's about blah, 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 whatever it was. She goes, well, how much you have? She goes, well, I have enough to cover it. She goes, then what do you got to pray God for money to go to college? You got the money. Use it. And then believe God's going to replenish it. Amen. I'll tell you what. And that's the truth. It does take faith. So, but for God, now the Amplified Bible says it this way. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten son so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. I think that's more love than we could muster up some, don't you think? That he gave, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized us. Wow, what was he thinking? That he gave his only son, his only begotten son, so that if we would trust in him, we would have eternal life, everlasting life. He, God loves and greatly, that's hard for people to grasp, that God greatly prizes us. He greatly prizes you. Say, God greatly prizes me. We could say it like this. You know, when you first start going out and you meet the woman of the future, your future spouse, and you go head over heels in love with them. Well, I got a newsflash. God is head over heels in love with you. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
That's grace. See, and again, you can't do anything about it. I love that, man. People get mad because you always do. You talk about grace. Yeah, because amazing grace. Thank you, Jesus. Here's one for you out of the Message Bible. This is Isaiah. I'm going to read these to you. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 4. Message Bible. I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back. Trade the creation just for you. That's how much God loves you. So he not only loves you, he accepts you just the way you are. You know, and I remember years ago this is going way back. We did a big, as a matter of fact, we even got a t-shirt. shirt made out of it. And it was when they took prayer out of school. But anyway, we did a thing on the beach, over on the beach. It was a big old surfing contest. And we had this guy come up, and he ministered, and he says, you know what? The problem with people is they think they have to get better before they go to God. And they can never get good enough to go to. You can't get good enough to go to God. You just have to go to God just the way you are. All your flaws, whatever you're doing, and then God. When the minute your heart is changed, God starts working on you. It's not instant. You're born again instantaneously. Your spirit is changed instantaneously. But you still have all your baggage, you know, and sometimes you need to leave it at the baggage claim. And it takes time because we want to take a bag and hang on to it for a while. Yeah. Then we look in the bag, oh, I don't like this bag no more. It's not a Louis Vuitton. So we bring it back to the baggage claim, and we go, oh, a coach. And we pick up a coach, and we take that bag back, and we walk around with it, and we go, I don't like this bag no more. So I bring it back, and I put it, Yeah, then you see, get the Michael Kors bag. But eventually, after you go through all the bags and you get sick and tired of them, you leave them. And guess what? You find out, I don't need them. Guys, I'm saving you a lot of money here today. You owe me big time. Next week we'll do shoes. That's okay. Just kidding. But see, that's the path that we're on. The path. So he loves us, he accepts us. And that's just it. Ephesians, the New Century Version Bible says, because of his love, God has already decided to make you his own children through Jesus Christ. That was what he wanted and what pleased him. And it brings praise to God because of his wonderful grace. God gave that grace to us freely in Christ, the one he loves. In Christ, we are set free by the blood of his death. And so we have forgiveness of sins. How rich is God's grace? So it is with you when you heard the true teaching, the good news about your salvation, you believed in Christ. So, you know, another, I just have all these versions here. There's one in Zephaniah. Everybody read Zephaniah? Probably not. It's not on your, like, favorite book of the Bible to read. But 3:17 says, somebody read my notes? Oh, okay. Anyway. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice with you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love and rejoice over you with singing. Wow. Here's a Bible translation called the Passion. The Lord your God has arrived. He is inside of you even now. What wealth and mighty power he brings, giving you victory and saving you. He will take such delight in you that he will make him leap for joy, twirl and spin, even shout with great gladness. He will renew you with his love. I like that. See, what we need to do after why this all took place, why you're a champion, why God did what he did in Christ, is because he says in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I came that you might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's what God did. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, he destroyed them. But the word might there means it's all dependent on you. Are you going to stay in the jar and never jump up above what the lid is? Because if you do, then the works of the devil are still operating in your life. He's still coming against you. He's still keeping you defeated. When all this time, you are a free person. free in Christ Jesus. You know, the amplified version of this, that verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, the reason the Son of God was manifest, visible, was to destroy, loosen, dissolve the works of the works the devil has done. That's why he did it, to destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done. You're a champion. Everybody say, I'm a champion. When you go out of here today, you have to say, I'm a champion. I cannot be defeated. You can't be defeated because you are a champion. And as we close, the music ministry could come up here. And we're going to go out today and we're going to enjoy the harvest party. We're going to have a great time. Oh, is that today? Did it say anniversary day Sunday thing? Is that? Oh, today's the fourth Sunday. Well, we got to get on the ball. No. So, anyway, what are you doing there? Oh, I'm not finished.
I'm sorry, Pastor.
Okay. Well, I don't care about the cake. They can eat the cake later. Right now, we're eating angel cake. This is angel food cake. All right. Glory to God. So as we close, and we're going to go out and enjoy the harvest party, and we're going to have the cake out there today. Amen. So we could go out there and start to set up, all right? But I want you to remember, as you walk out those doors today, all right, and you start to think about the struggles you're going to face, remember this. You've already beat them. You're already a winner. You're already in the winner circle. Take your prize. Take your prize. The battle was won. You are free. You're a champion. In Jesus' name, and there's nothing you could do about it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads this morning as we pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we praise you, Lord. We thank you that we are champions. We are more than conquerors through Christ.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we praise, give you praise and honor that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That we're in the winner's circle. Hallelujah. And Father God, maybe there's people here today who are not in the winner's circle. Well, it's easy to get in the winner's circle. You don't have to do anything but receive what Jesus has done for you. Let him convey you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You become something. You'll have hope. You'll have God. You'll be able to overcome your challenges because you're in the winner's circle. And you'll have the victory. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior and you'd like to, I want to pray with you this morning. It's simple. You know, you just have to admit, number one, you need help. You know, that's half the problem. People are so caught up in pride, they don't want to admit that they need help. That's the first road to recovery, when you need help. The first road to salvation is when you say, I need help. And if you're here this morning and that's you and you say, God, I need help, then you need to receive Jesus. And you just need him to say, Lord, Jesus, I need help. I need you to come into my heart and make me a new creation. If that's you this morning, raise your hand. I want to pray with you before I turn this over. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, all of you stand up right where you're at. Just stand up there. Praise God. Not all the people that raised their hand. Sorry about that. All right. Amen. Because I want to pray with you. You don't mind if I pray with you, right? Come on down here. We're going to pray.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. No. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We're going to say a simple prayer. You just want to ask Jesus to come in our heart. That's it. That's it. Okay, say this.
Dear God,
I come to you today. I can't do it myself.
I need help.
I want to get in the winner's circle. And I want to be a champion. So today, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to fill me with his Spirit from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Make me a new creation and convey me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Lord, I thank you that today, October 22nd, 2017, I receive Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.